This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Mass murderer Charles Manson is dead. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Monday, November 20th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Notorious killer Charles Manson, the cult leader who terrorized Southern California in the late 1960s, has died of natural causes.
A Southern Border Patrol agent has been killed and his partner injured after responding to a call in what's known as the Big Bend sector in Texas.
In order to get tax reform passed, the White House indicates it's open to dropping a health care provision contained in a current proposal.
And a new survey identifies the best month for buying a home if you're holding out for a big discount.
August is Black Friday for real estate. August is the month when you're going to see prices cut. So price cuts in August, 13.9% of all listings get their prices slashed in August. So August is the month if you're looking for a price cut to go look.
Katie Hill at moneyish.com on the best and worst months to buy a home from a pricing perspective. She's here in about 20 minutes. Charles Manson, the cult leader who orchestrated a string of gruesome killings in Southern California in the 1960s, has died at age 83. He died of natural causes last evening at a local hospital. He's been serving a life sentence at the nearby Corcoran State Prison for ordering the murders of 9 people, including actress Sharon Tate. Mr. Manson loomed large as a symbol of the terror he unleashed in the summer of 69, even decades later. He spoke with ABC News in 1993.
The only thing my mother taught me was that everything she said was a lie. And I learned never to believe anyone about anything.
Mr. Manson became one of the 20th century's most notorious criminals when he directed his mostly young female followers to murder 7 people in what prosecutors said was part of a plan to incite a race war. Although he did not personally kill any of the 7 victims, he was found guilty of ordering their murders. A U.S. Border Patrol agent has been killed in the line of duty. More now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
It happened while patrolling the Big Bend sector of Texas along the southern border with Mexico. U.S. Customs and Border Protection says 36-year-old agent Rogelio Martinez died yesterday from injuries sustained while responding to activity near Interstate 10. Mr. Martinez and his partner were transported to a hospital. The partner, who was not identified, remains hospitalized in serious condition. Agent Martinez, who was from El Paso, had been employed as a border agent for a little more than 4 years. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. President Trump pushed the need for his proposed U.S.-Mexico border wall last night following the incident, tweeting, "We will seek out and bring to justice those responsible. We will and must build the wall." So President Trump would not demand repeal of the Obamacare mandate in a tax reform bill. The version of tax legislation put forward by Senate Republican leaders would remove a requirement that taxes Americans who don't buy health insurance. White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney was on CBS's Face the Nation.
No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody doubts where the president is on repeal and replace. The White House would love to see Obamacare taken apart all at once, bit by bit, however we can do it.
Republican senators like Susan Collins of Maine say some middle-income taxpayers could see any benefits of the tax cuts wiped out by higher health insurance premiums if the mandate is repealed.
I hope that will be dropped, or that bills that have been introduced by Senators Alexander Murray and Bill Nelson and myself will be adopted.
She was on ABC's This Week. Republicans can only afford to lose 2 votes on the tax bill because of their slim majority in the Senate. It's 10 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Minnesota Senator Al Franken reportedly won't resign amid a sexual misconduct scandal, but his future in Congress remains unsettled. A spokesman for Mr. Franken told his hometown paper, The Star Tribune, in Minneapolis on Saturday that the senator would not resign. Meanwhile, want to work in an office where there's no sexual harassment? Watch for these behaviors to get rid of. We're joined now by Dr. Arlen Diamond, president and founder of Diamond Associates, a management consultant firm. Dr. Diamond, how do you see this?
That we're in an era right now where we have to be extremely polite, courteous, cautious, and treat people, you know, as if our grandmother was watching.
Yeah. And is, I mean, have you noticed that this has been going on for a long time and like the Harvey Weinstein incident just happened to shed light on it? How do you read all what's happening
now? Yeah, I think you're correct. I'm a redhead and I've had my share of unwanted kinds of activities when I was much younger. I don't anymore. I'm old now. But I think that it's fairly common. I think if you just go back in time, that there are some men, I'm just going to be stereotypical for a minute, mm-hmm. not all men certainly, but some men who think that they have power over women and they can take unfair advantage of it and they behave boorishly. There are others that think they're teasing and doing, you know, good-natured kinds of things that are not appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, I think teasing is a big part of all of this, that men, generally speaking, love to tease.
Yeah.
And women don't like it. Mm. I mean, men tease babies, they tease kittens, they tease puppies, you know?
Yeah.
And we women just don't do that. So there's a lot of misunderstanding kinds of things, no intent to harm,
right.
That winds up making women very uncomfortable. And, but then there are also the bullies. And I think, you know, if you go back to the Industrial Revolution, there were so many stories of supervisors taking advantage of women who have come in and desperately need to be working in the factories. It's a power grab.
We're speaking with Dr. Arlen Diamond. She's based in Santa Clara, California. She's a management consultant, also president and founder of Diamond Associates. And we're talking about the behaviors that should be avoided in a sexual harassment-free workplace. Something that jumped out at me, too, and I'm looking at some of the notes. It says, best to avoid compliments on physical appearance.
I know.
Man, I know.
You know, I'm of an era where men flirted with women and women flirted back. And, you know, it was at arm's length, so to speak. We have to be really careful because a lot of times compliments have innuendo to them,
yeah.
or else are done at a time that's meant to take the other person off stride.
Mm.
One of the things that we noticed when women were first making presentations in the boardroom was just as a woman would stand up to make a presentation, some guy would compliment her blouse or her breast or something.
Jeez, yeah.
And, you know, make her uncomfortable. All of a sudden, she becomes self-conscious. So, compliment the work, but don't compliment how that person looks.
Yeah.
And I say that with a certain amount of sadness because we all want to be appreciated mm-hmm. and complimented. But I think we're in an era right now where I'm saying men and women because that's about 80-something percent of it.
Does the training that some people go through prior to hiring, you know, these videos you might have to watch or something like that, does that help, or does a person come in already with that sort of behavior and the videos don't help that type of person?
So you're now right into my prejudices. So I think that there's a lot of useless training out there. And I think that and I've also, by the way, created online training, so I need to kind of be careful about what I'm saying.
Okay.
But when people are doing the online training tends to be just multiple choice Q&A. Do you know, what do you think about this, that, or the other thing?
Yeah.
And people can go through it in a pretty pro forma manner. It doesn't necessarily impact them personally.
It's Dr. Arlen Diamond, president and founder of Diamond Associates, the management consultant firm. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, cult leader Charles Manson has died of natural causes at a hospital in Kern County, California. He was serving a life sentence at California State Prison in Corcoran for ordering the two-night helter-skelter murder spree in Los Angeles in 1969, along with his so-called family members. ABC's Diane Sawyer interviewed him in 1993.
Is Charlie Manson crazy?
Whatever that means. Sure, he's crazy as mad as a hatter. What difference does it make? you know, a long time ago, being crazy meant something. Nowadays, everybody's crazy. So, I mean, you know, like, you know, synonymous. I mean, it's an irony, man. It's a paradox. I mean, are you crazy?
Manson was 83. Northern Florida authorities spent the weekend searching for three inmates who escaped from a county jail outside Tallahassee Friday. The trio apparently got out through the ceiling of the Crawfordsville Jail's law library. Investigators believe the men are no longer in the area. Egypt has closed its only border with Gaza again. The crossing at Rafah was open in both directions over the weekend for medical and humanitarian reasons. Students and Palestinians stranded outside as part of a deal with the Fatah-backed Palestinian Authority to take over control of the area from Hamas. The Keystone XL pipeline section that runs from Alberta to Oklahoma and Illinois remains closed after operator TransCanada revealed last week that a leak had dumped over 200,000 gallons of oil in South Dakota. Additional equipment and workers continue to be dispatched to the site. The situation may affect a crucial decision in Nebraska, where regulators could announce today whether they'll approve or deny a permit for a Keystone XL extension. A Hollywood head-scratcher over the mega-budget Justice League opening.
Full transparency, I've never done battle. I've just pushed some people and run away.
Save one.
Flash and Batman were joined by last summer's breakout hero Wonder Woman, but the film becomes the first installment of the DC Extended Universe to fall short of $100 million in its opening weekend. The NFC East is just about locked up now by the Philadelphia Eagles after the Birds pummeled their division rivals, the Dallas Cowboys, 37-9 last night.
Takes a snap, looking to his left, throwing across the middle. Pass was there and caught for a touchdown.
Kevin Ray on Compass Media Networks calls Alshon Jeffrey's fourth quarter TD from Carson Wentz. Eagles currently own the best record in football. 9-1.
Just wondering why that story made your newscast. Is it because you're wearing a Philadelphia Eagles jersey this morning?
You know,
is there some sort of bias?
I must have dressed in the dark.
Is that what it was?
Grabbed the first thing on top of the laundry basket.
Wow. What an amazing coincidence, isn't it?
E-A-G-L.
23 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us. Single women and millennials are increasingly entering the real estate market. Here's what they and the rest of us need to know about negotiating deals. For one, expect the biggest price cuts in late summer. It's a story from Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. Katie, explain.
August is Black Friday for real estate. August is a month when you're going to see prices cut. So price cuts in August, 13.9% of all listings get their prices slashed in August. This is data looking at from 6 years of real estate listings from Trulia. So August is the month, if you're looking for a price cut, to go look. Because what's happening, right, is a lot of people list their homes starting in the spring or the summer when the real estate market starts to pick up. By August, they're getting desperate for somebody to buy a home. And so they start saying, you know what? Oh, my gosh, it's August. I haven't sold. Cutting the price, I'm gonna get this house off the market. So you're going to see price drops in August more than any other month. The worst month for these is December, so this coming up. Only about 8% of listings will see their prices drop in December. And that's because a lot of people are thinking, well, you know what? I'm going to go into the new year. I'll deal with it then. You know, well, March starts up the heating up of the real estate market then, so I can wait that out. So that may be what's happening there.
Wow. I also thought when I initially read that August was a big month for discounts that, especially for people with kids who are going to school, like you're so desperate to be settled in some place by September when the school year begins that you're really desperate in August.
Yeah, could be. You're like, okay, I'm selling this house for a fire sale. We got to get out of here, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, I mean, I think that means if you've seen a house, let's say you've been looking from June, July, you've been looking at houses, you see a house that's still on the market, you're approaching the end of summer. I mean, this is the time to really start negotiating with sellers because that mentality is really stuck in their head. You know, like you're about to end this whole real estate bonanza is gonna be ending real soon, and we're gonna be going into, you know, it's coming fall, it's coming winter. So I think that is a good signal to you too. Maybe this is the time to really get that price you want.
We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com, about her piece entitled "This is the Perfect Month to Buy a Home if You're Looking for a Big-Time Price Cut," and the month is August. You said, too, that weather severity plays a role in price cuts. Explain.
Yeah. I mean, places with really severe weather, when it's really cold in the winter and then the warm weather starts to come in, those have much more price fluctuations than, say, somewhere like Florida, where the weather is a bit more you know, steady and warm. Because, look, people, nobody when it's snowing a foot outside is going around hunting, house hunting. You know, that's not really what people are doing. I mean, some are, but not many. So, yeah, all of a sudden in these cold weather climates, spring comes, and people, you know, that's what they do. And it really is related to weather. So that's interesting, too, just to know about.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com in New York. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday, November 20th. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: mass killer Charles Manson has died at 83. A Southern Border Patrol agent has been killed responding to a call in Texas. The White House indicates it's willing to drop its insistence on a health care provision in order to get tax reform passed. The Georgia Dome will be imploded today. One-time Wimbledon champ Yana Novotna has died at 49 from cancer. And the bus driver and student who helped save a first grader from choking on the way home from school. That story in about 20 minutes. The Democrats' unexpectedly large 9-point victory in the Virginia governor's race on Election Day has sparked hopes within the party that a suburban surge will carry it in next year's elections to a majority in the House. But there are cautionary tales. More from Wall Street Journal data and politics reporter Dante Chinney. Dante, what do we have?
There are, as we head forward to midterms next November, 62 Republican districts that the Cook Political Report says are competitive right now. So what we did is we looked at some of the demographics of those places, and the bottom line is they look nothing like Northern Virginia. They don't look like Fairfax or Arlington or Loudoun. We think the real story is if you look at Virginia Beach, a city in the southern part of Virginia, and Chesterfield, a county just outside of Richmond, those two counties, one's a city, one's a county, look a lot like these competitive districts. And frankly, the fact that Northam won them, he won these two counties that Democrats rarely, if ever, win, that may have a lot more meaning for 2018.
Okay. Is that the suburban surge that's referenced in the story?
Yeah, and the suburban surge the Democrats are really excited about is the area around Nova, Northern Virginia. We think the other part of the suburban surge, which is kind of the suburbs of Richmond, this one county around Richmond, and your Virginia Beach in the southern part of the state, which has a very suburban feel, those are going to be a lot more significant if you're trying to figure out what the Democrats are going to do in 2018.
All right, so what role did President Trump play in that, or his name at least? Do we know?
So that's something we're going to have to figure out, and over time we're going to see. But look, the fact that the Republican candidate Ed Gillespie did not do well in Richmond and Virginia Beach, these are not good counties for cities and counties for President Trump. And we know that Trump probably hurt the Republican Ed Gillespie in the Nova area around Washington, D.C. But in those places, what it really led to is just a huge bump in margin and turnout for Democrats. We think, looking at these numbers, that Trump actually also hurt the Republican nominee in these areas that are generally much more Republican. And these are areas of the state that usually go 5-6 points Republican, and they both flipped Democratic. And Virginia Beach flipped fairly substantially Democratic. The Democrat, Ralph Northam, won it by 6 points. It's hard to argue that's not Trump. It certainly looks and feels like Trump when you look at the data.
Hmm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal data and politics reporter Dante Chinney about his piece entitled, "Can Democrats Win the House? These Counties hold clues. All right, what is it that Republicans point to here after all this?
Well, I mean, what they're pointing to is, look, the state has been trending Democratic for a long time, so it's no big surprise. And I think also Republicans can rightly point out to the fact that, you know, even though Northam won the state by a lot, he didn't win every county by a lot. And this is actually, this maybe gets to the point of something we need to talk about here, which the Republican candidate did much better in the least well-educated county of the state. Those are the counties with the fewest, the lowest percentage of college graduates. Ed Gillespie actually did better than the Republican candidate from 4 years ago, Kent Cuccinelli, in the state.
Wow.
So that's something where they can look at and say, look, we're still appealing with our blue-collar voters, voters that kind of feel like they've been left behind economically. Ed Gillespie did better than Ken Cuccinelli did 4 years ago. That's a really good sign for us. But that's, again, why we think Virginia Beach and Chesterfield are such important counties to look at, because they look a lot like these 62 competitive House districts. They look a lot more like the nation at large, frankly, in terms of their college education number. And if Republicans are really only appealing to the people, the blue-collar voters, with lower percentages of college education in those communities, that's not a good thing for them. They even if they run up margins in these rural communities, and these places largely are rural where Gillespie did better, even if they run up margins there, it's not going to help them if they're losing places like Chesterfield and Virginia Beach, which, again, they're well-educated, but not super well-educated. They look a lot like the rest of the country. And if you're a Republican, that's what should worry you more about Virginia. It's not really about the fact that, I mean, the big margins for Northam should concern everybody, concern anybody if you're a Republican, but the fact that you look at these kinds of places, Virginia Beach and Chesterfield County, and the fact that Republicans didn't win there, Democrats did win there, that should raise a lot of eyebrows.
Thanks, Dante. That is Wall Street Journal data and politics reporter Dante Chinney. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us on this Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, fans of the Buffalo Bills, along with many NFL analysts, were scratching their heads when the team decided to bench its quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, yesterday in favor of a rookie named Nathan Peterman, who had never started an NFL game. The results, to say the least, was not pretty, as Peterman threw 5 interceptions in the first half and was pulled in favor of Taylor at halftime. The start was so bad, in fact, that USA Today compiled a list of unbelievable stats from Peterman's start. For instance, Peterman needed only 17 minutes to pass Taylor, who had started every game before this one for the team lead in interceptions. He also now has more interceptions on the season than Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, Drew Brees, Jared Goff, and Carson Wentz. Oof. The good news is this isn't even the worst quarterback performance of the season based on passer rating. Baltimore's Joe Flacco rung up a 12 earlier this season against the Jaguars in London. But perhaps next time around, the Bills might want to employ a different strategy. If Peterman had just spiked the ball to the ground on all 16 of his dropbacks, he would have produced a passer rating of 39.6. His passer rating, unfortunately, clocked in at 17.9.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know much about the mathematics involved with the passer rating, but I know interceptions are bad and touchdowns are good.
Wow.
So if you go 5 interceptions but no touchdowns, that's really bad.
If he had spiked the ball on 16 occasions, he would have had a better passer rating.
Yep.
Oh, my
Maybe
goodness.
He'd be starting next week. Who knows?
I was going home from the Giants game last night. I can't remember when I got home and I heard it on TV or I heard it on the radio driving home, where at one point he was 4 of 9,
yeah,
with 4 interceptions.
Right.
Like, he had completed as many passes to the other team as he had to his own team.
Yeah.
Startling.
His overall completion percentage actually wasn't terrible, but unfortunately so many of them went to the other team.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a problem.
Wow.
And move over, Pizza Rat. Your hipster counterpart has arrived, and he's ready to take you on for YouTube supremacy. Meet Avocado Rat. The video was captured, appropriately, in a subway station in Brooklyn last week. The small rat appears to be carrying half of an avocado while scurrying along the side of the tracks, before eventually disappearing below to load up on fiber and potassium. The woman who posted the video on Instagram captioned it, "Even the rats in NYC are on trend. Hope he finds some toast." The video has since been viewed a few thousand times, but has a ways to go to catch the granddaddy of Subway scavengers, Pizza Rat, whose video recently passed 10 million views on YouTube.
This could probably be a thing if there were 24/7 surveillance cameras just focused underneath
Yeah.
The subway platforms in New York City, where the tracks are,
so,
because that's where the rats are. That's where you can stand on the platform while waiting for the subway and look down on the tracks before the trains come in,
right,
and see the rats scurrying around. If there were just video, you could have a YouTube channel that,
right,
I think that would get millions of views a year.
Your daily rats dinner video, whatever, whatever they're dining on this evening.
I've said before, I've been on those platforms and have seen rats big enough that actually make me take a step back, you know, like the size of cats, and you think, could that thing actually leap up here and bite me in the leg? Like,
yeah,
that's how unsettling.
Thankfully, avocado rat was a smaller rat, perhaps a young millennial rat grabbing the avocado.
And maybe something to keep in mind if you are to go down into a New York City subway station, keep an avocado in your pocket.
Right.
If approached by a rat, toss the avocado towards said rodent.
Toss and run.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending some time with us on this Monday. The advice to eat our fruits and veggies is always with us, right? But it's not influencing most Americans to eat much of it. That's according to a new report from the CDC. Adults should consume 1.5 to 2 cups of fruits and 2 to 3 cups of vegetables per day, according to national dietary recommendations. Forbes.com says, for reference, a cup of fruit is the equivalent of about 1 banana or a medium-sized grapefruit. A cup of veggies is the equivalent of about 1 medium-sized sweet potato or 12 baby carrots. The report found that overall just about 12% of Americans meet the fruit recommendation standard, and even fewer meet the vegetable standard at 9.3%. A state-by-state comparison, by the way, did not reveal any dietary all-stars, but there were a few notable disparities, according to Forbes. Residents of West Virginia own the bottom of the ranking with the lowest consumption of fruits and veggies of any state. At the high end, residents of Washington, D.C. eat the most fruits, and Alaskans apparently eat the most vegetables. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Al Gordon cult leader Charles Manson has died. Manson and 4 of his followers were sentenced to death in the California gas chamber for the 1969 Helter Skelter murders of actor Sharon Tate and 6 others, but those sentences were reduced to life in 1972 when the state Supreme Court abolished the death penalty. Manson gave ABC a rare interview in 1993.
I broke no law. I didn't step out of line with God, and I didn't step out of line with the man. I did not break the law.
Manson was 83. A Baltimore neighborhood locked down for 6 days reopens today, with police clearing the crime scene in Harlem Park where a gunman killed Detective Sean Suter last week. With no suspect identified and the reward for information on Suter's killer now at $215,000, police have maintained a perimeter in the neighborhood in hopes of gathering tips and preserving evidence. FAA officials are headed to the site of a medical helicopter crash in eastern Arkansas that killed all on board. Arkansas County Sheriff Todd Wright says 3 bodies were recovered from the chopper's wreckage.
We were advised by Pyrford Ambulance Service that there were 3 crew members on board, no patients.
The aircraft was flying from Pine Bluff to DeWitt, southeast of Little Rock. The Greek government has declared an emergency in areas of central and northern Greece hit by heavy rains last week. 20 people died in flash flooding. Weekend rains added to the misery, and more bad weather today is delaying the cleanup of homes, businesses, and even cemeteries tumbled by crashing waters. Facing 2 accusations of sexual harassment by members of the Transparent team that he has strongly denied, Jeffrey Tambor has decided to quit the Amazon series, calling it no longer the job he signed up for. Tambor issued a statement of regret if any of his actions were misinterpreted, but also says the on-set atmosphere has become so politicized he can't return. Well, for single adults, a furry friend from a nearby shelter might be just what the doctor ordered. A Swedish study tracked more than 3 million middle-aged and older adults for 12 years. All were free of heart disease at the outset. The researchers found dog owners who lived alone are 11% less likely to die of heart disease and 1/3 less likely to die from any cause compared to those who live alone with no pets.
All right, I like that. Get yourself a dog. Thank you, Rasa. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. It was a normal bus ride home for Dunbar Raymer School in Alabama when first grader Armin Hollenquist began coughing and losing his breath while having an allergic reaction to chocolate milk. The Montgomery Advertiser says Montgomery Public School bus driver Ted Turnipseed says he heard such a coughing fit behind him. sixth grader Amari Bell called the boy's grandmother. By the time the bus reached young Armand's house, he had passed out. His grandmother rushed him to the emergency room. Last week, Amari, the sixth grader, and Mr. Turnipseed, the bus driver, were celebrated at a Montgomery Public Schools meeting for their combined efforts in helping Amon through a severe allergic reaction that eventually resulted in him losing consciousness and being taken to the hospital. Making the situation more dramatic was the South Montgomery County bus route, which runs through sparsely populated countryside. Mr. Turnipseed said he decided to complete the bus route later and instead drove straight to Armand's grandma's house, likely saving his life. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.